This article appears in the November-December 2023 issue of the Maharshi, published by Arunachala Ashrama. It is titled 40 Verses on Reality, Ulladu Narpadu, Part 2, The Invocatory Mangalam Verses, Commentary by Lakshmana Sharma. We continue from our last issue, September-October 2023, with Sri Lakshmana Sharma's commentary on the invocatory verses of Sri Ramana Maharshi's composition, 40 Verses on Reality, Ulladu Narpadu, which contain the essence of Sri Bhagavan's teachings. Sri Lakshmana Sharma's commentary was lauded by Sri Bhagavan himself, who personally tutored Sri Sharma in the study of this divine work. Sri Bhagavan said, "Everyone is saying that Lakshmana Sharma's commentary on Ulladu Narpadu is the best. Nobody has studied Ulladu Narpadu the way Sharma has." The English translation, published by Sri Ramanashramam, has been done by Kays, to whom we are immensely grateful. The recitation of Ulladu Narpadu, including the invocatory verses, is available on YouTube. Is Brahman then insentient or not? Further, is Brahman with awareness, or is awareness just its form? In other words, is consciousness an attribute or a function of Brahman, or is it its very nature? The answer to these questions are contained in the second import of the first sentence of Ulladu Narpadu, which is Ulladu Alladu Ulla Unaravu Ullado. Brahman here is not instructed as one with awareness or consciousness or knowledge, but that is awareness itself. What then is its import? The one with awareness or knowledge as its function or attribute is simply the intellect, which is none other than the mind. Awareness or knowledge is not the innate nature of the mind, but is its property or function. Therefore, this knowledge of the mind is inconstant and impermanent. In dreamless sleep, the awareness of the mind subsides. Unlike this, the awareness that is the form of Brahman is eternal and changeless, for awareness is not its function. The inalienable awareness, the very form of Brahman, is imperishable. Unlike the mind that loses its awareness and perishes when plunged into swoon or sleep, its consciousness form is inviolable and unaffected by time, space, or any other factor. It remains all by itself in utter loneliness, even when all the worlds become not or extinct. Though that Brahman is the very form of awareness or knowledge deserves to be accepted by us by the sheer strength of the teaching itself, it can also be ascertained through logical reasoning supported by inferential deductions. The first of the two imports of the first sentence contains one such reasoning, where we saw that Brahman indeed is the origin wherefrom mind and thoughts arise and subside. Mind is the sentient or an object with awareness, and it follows that the object of its origin must either be with awareness or awareness itself. If it is merely with awareness, it becomes just another object like mind and cannot be sat or a permanent entity or that which ever is. Therefore, it is neither insentient, jada, nor one with awareness. What is it then? That then is indeed awareness or chit or chaitanya, sentience itself. The conclusively established doctrine of the entire gamut of the Vedanta is that the self that is Brahman is not one with awareness, but it is Chaitanya, or sentience itself. Hence, it is called Sat-Chit. There are other arguments as well, and one such rationale is as follows. Since Brahman cannot be spoken of as one with awareness, it must be either Jada, insentient, or Chaitanya, sentient. If not Jada, it will be inferred to be sentient. It cannot be called insentient, for then it would imply that it is not self-effulgent, since all that is Jada, or insentient, not being self-revealing, shine by the light of some other awareness. Then the question arises, by what light of awareness does Brahman shine? To which the protagonist will say, by some sentience or awareness that is other than that. It would at once be asked whether that chit or awareness is sat or asat. The test of reality is continuity of his existence without change. It should always be real, be present at all times, not be confined by names and forms or other limitations. It can't be postulated as a sat, for nothing can be made to shine by a sat. If it is said to be sat, then it will necessarily have to be sat and chit, which means that the same vastu can be both sat and chit. This has been accepted, and nothing prevents one from concluding that the aforesaid sat, that Brahman, be chit as well. This is the best way logically. That sat, which is a substratum of the world, is self-revealing in its own self-effulgence, requiring no other awareness to reveal it. Abandoning this reasoning, if that sat is argued to be non-self-effulgent, the other chit that reveals it also cannot be presumed to be self-effulgent either, by the same logic requiring yet another chit to light it up and reveal the earlier chit. Thus the projection of countless non-self-effulgent chits will have to go on ad infinitum, and the argument would suffer from the fallacy of anavastha dosham, or making it interminable. Brahman, the satvastu, that which is chit by itself, is the fair and logical conclusion by all these, and anything contrary to this must be deemed as fallacious. The nature of Brahman is thus conclusively seen to be twofold, namely being, sat, and awareness, chit, thereby coming to be known as sat-chit. Sat means that which is, and chit means the existent feeling or awareness or jnana or sentience. One should not give way to delusion, wondering, is all this the swarupa, the nature and form of Brahman? What has been attempted to reveal is that the nature of Brahman is other than the unreal world and mind, and by no means a description in full of the swarupa or the real nature of Brahman, which can be known only by the direct and most immediate experience, and not in any other way, logical or otherwise. The fact that Brahman is the form of chit does in no way mean that the mind that is seemingly sentient is chit in truth. That it is jada or insentient, just like the world, is what is asserted and further explained in the verse 22 of this text that starts with Matikoli Tandu, imparting to the mind the light of consciousness. If we are in truth that Satchitananda, Brahman, in other words, if that be ourself, why then are we not aware of our true reality? Why do we regard ourselves as these mean jivas or these bodies or worldlings exposed to the trammels of samsara? The following sentence provides the answer to this query. Ulla purul, ulla lara, ulla te, ulla da, ulla menum, ulla purul, ulla evan. Bhagavan himself has graciously clarified that here the word evan must be taken in two senses as who and how. This statement affirms that Brahman is without a mind and ever tranquil. It is in the heart called Ullam or Hridayam. That Brahman, that which is, shines as it is only in the heart where the mind is extinct. In an externalized and active mind, that is, in an extroverted mind, it will not shine as it truly is, which means then it will appear only as the individual, soul, God, and the world. This is one of the numerous reasons why Brahman is beyond contemplation by the mind. One of them is expounded in the 22nd verse, Matikoli Tandu, imparting the light of awareness to the mind. Two reasons are posited here. The nature of the mind is to superimpose on the immaculate non-dual Brahman, imagine differences and venerate them as real, is one. A sentient being, a jiva, as other than Brahman, to contemplate on it is non-existent, is the other. Let us analyze the first one. The mind creates an imaginary within and without, and further creates in the imaginary without many worlds, the other jivas or individual souls and God. This is but the innate nature of the mind. We have already seen that Brahman is the sole basic truth as a substratum for all these imaginary projections, and as such, they are mere superimpositions on the Brahman. By the logic of the imagined superimpositions concealing and preventing the substantiative truth of the underlying ground reality from shining as it truly is, we know that the projective world and others obstruct the adhishtana, Brahman, from shining as it is. So long the mind is externalized, thus long will Brahman appear as the world, individual, soul, and God, and not as Brahman. But if the mind were to be inward turned, it uniting itself with the heart, the place of its origin, it loses its nature as mind and abides there. Then the imagined triad disappearing, Brahman shines with no let or hindrance as the self, though the mind can neither perceive it nor know it. Though the heart, Ullam, is spoken of here as being the seat of Brahman, since in truth it is not other than Brahman, it is neither a seat or dwelling place, nor is Brahman confined to any one specified place alone. The heart is spoken of as the seat of Brahman to stress the need for the aspirant desiring the experience of being the self to become inward turned, abandoning the mind's tendency to be exteriorized. That Ullam, the heart, itself is Brahman, and Brahman is the heart, is elucidated by the words Ullamenam Ullapurul, the Satvastu that is Ullam. As Brahman is said to be in the heart, it shines as it is with the subsidence of the mind and will not shine when the exteriorized mind indulges in frenzied activity. Then the three, the imagined triad, will veil Brahman. Thus, it is known that Brahman will not be known to people with moorings externalized. The other reason advanced is that there is no sentient being other than Brahman, as one apart from it, to contemplate it. The jiva, who fondly prides himself as the knower of other objects, we have seen, is but a Purius one, poli uir. Then the mind is outward bent. Such a one will appear as if real. But if the mind turned inward subsides in the heart, he, annihilated, becomes extinct. He, being an imagined entity, is not one to contemplate on Brahman. It is said Brahman cannot be contemplated on. But then, is there or not a way at all to meditate ullavadarku on the self or Brahman? The fourth sentence of this Venba gives a meat response to this question. Ullate ullapadi ullade ullal unar. The true meditation of the Supreme Reality, Brahman, is to be as that Brahman self itself is, in the thought-free state, is the import of this sentence. The mind sunk within, becoming united as one with Brahman, which is not other than the heart, losing its nature as mind and remaining as self, moveless and quiescent peace, is true meditation. This is called the state of experience of self-knowledge. Though it is described as meditation, it is not one conducted by the mind. Contemplation by the mind is accompanied by the triad of meditator, object of meditation, and the meditation. But this state is bereft of a triputi. Other than this, as no other form of meditation is acceptable, this itself is called meditation. Bhagavan used to say that puja, devotion, vision, and knowledge are all only this. They are all contained in this. This state is called deliverance and turiya. To be continued.